Super Nerd Podcast, the adventure that brings you the latest nerd news and rumors from movies, TV, entertainment, and sometimes science. You name it, if it is nerdy, we are talking about it. And tonight's main event is Aquaman 2 and the end of the DCEU. I'm your host, Austin. With me, as always, is the amazing Amanda.
Hey.
Wild yet elusive Jekka.
Hello, friend.
And Burn Brady Burn.
Present, because Jekka didn't say it.
I was trying to spice it up. If only I could do Gollum's voice.
Here we are, 2024, first podcast of the year. Thanks for giving us some time off, all you listeners out there. We are obviously talking Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, which happens to be the very last film of the DCEU. We're going to be talking about that a little later, but we're also talking some more Marvel news to include the new Echo trailer, which looks amazing. Unfortunately, Rosario Dawson says there's no talk about a Ahsoka season 2 so far. Like, apparently our dog is doing something it's not supposed to behind me. And guess what? Ready Player One might be coming a reality. Isn't that crazy? So make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button. We would love to nerd out with you each and every week. And if you've already hit that podcast subscribe button, you know what I'm going to say to you. Plus 10 nerd XP. We love you guys. And for everyone else, as soon as you hit that podcast subscribe button, you too can start earning nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
Apparently the dog wants to play all of a sudden. Dude, what are you doing, man?
Snake, I didn't get a walk today.
Don't touch the dog while we're doing podcasting. He'll think that we want to interact with it. Jeez. Hey, Jekka, how was your holidays? What have you been up to?
I went to Utah to visit family and friends, and it was really fun. I was out there for a little over 2 weeks. Here's the funny thing. So I got my first Squishmallows.
Oh, yes.
Slytherin. So
a Slytherin Squishmallow.
Yeah, Slytherin Squishmallow. So it's like a snake. It's a Squishmallow. It's a green snake, and it has this scarf with Slytherin emblem on it. So my friend got this for me, and they had texted me ahead of time asking, like, if they could get it for me, if I'd be able to take it on the plane. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be checking in a bag. Even then, like, I didn't realize how big it was until I got it. So I ended up getting a vacuum seal and, like, vacuum sealing it, which fit in my bag, and I was able to bring it back. This is the funny thing. My housemate got me a Slytherin Squishmallow as well. So I have two.
You have two of the exact same ones?
Two of the exact same ones, yes.
So would you like a companion story to that?
Sure. Yeah, one's currently on our couch. I'm like, I'm just going to leave that out there. And then I have this one on my bed.
Nice. So they were selling those Squishmallows at Five Below, like the mini ones.
Really?
And my kids saw them, and so they really, really, really wanted them. So I have four kids. I was going to give them each their own house, except the one that belongs in Slytherin would not accept Slytherin. So I had two Hufflepuffs.
That's so funny.
That I think part of it is, it's my oldest is Gryffindor. My son is Ravenclaw. And the next one is Hufflepuff, hands down.
Yeah.
And so then my next one, she is definitely a Slytherin.
Who?
Avalyn.
Oh, Avalyn. Yeah, I could see that.
And so she just
What's Allison?
Gryffindor.
Gryffindor? Maybe. Anakin?
Ravenclaw.
I also got, my niece also gave me this little banana slug Squishmallow.
But anyway, so nice. When you said you got the Slytherin Squishmallows, I was like, oh, I was trying to get my kids to get a Slytherin one.
Yeah, no, but it was just so funny because, like, I have two now, and I was like, yeah, I'm keeping them. Maybe someday. Because I'm like, if it come down to it, I have some friends that I could totally, like, give the second one to. But for now, I'm going to enjoy having both of them because I have two Slytherin Squishmallows. So I went from zero Squishmallows to three.
Totally worth it.
Nice. All right, Brady, what's nerdy with you?
I finished Silo last night. That was good.
Finished that up. On Apple TV?
Yeah,
Have you finished that, Jekka, or have you not seen
it yet? It's on my list. I really want to see it because I've read the book that's based on it. I love the book, I really want
to
see it.
I wanted to know what you thought of that last episode. Maybe spoiler warnings.
Spoiler warnings.
I can do this without spoilers. I thought that the last episode was phenomenal. The end result, the ending of it, it was in many ways what I predicted, but in one major way was not.
I think I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Until I saw the birds, right? So yeah. I saw that and I was like, wait a second. And yeah, then it kind of clicked in my head. And then the pan out at the end really opens the door. I know there are other books, so it really opens the door for other stories and that kind of thing. So it was really, it was a phenomenal ending to the show. Mm-hmm. I really liked it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to season two. But it's so close to the upcoming Fallout TV show that I'm wondering if there's going to be a little Silo burnout. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I looked at everything we know about Silo season two, which did pick up production again after the strike. And the actress that played the main character was not a confirmed player in season two, but some of the other folks were.
That's because,
but it's still early.
Just give the spoil, Jekka. Just spoil it.
I
won't give any spoils, but I will. Oh, no, wait.
No spoilers.
Never mind.
You can talk to Jekka offline if you want.
Hold on. I'm going to type it in the chat. I won't say anything.
I don't want to see it. All right, we're going to move on. Amanda?
Just text it to me.
Yeah, text it to Amanda only.
Brady, right, do you want to know? No, okay.
No. All right, Amanda, what's nerdy with you?
Okay.
Or sorry, Brady, was there something more you wanted to say? I just kind of moved.
Oh, I had a couple other nerdy things I did. I, like, over the holiday, we camped between Christmas and New Year's with the Scouts, and I was the cook for about 30 people. And I smoked like 15 racks of ribs one night. Ooh. I mean, just stayed really busy. It was a lot like work. Like, out of the 4 days we were there, I was away from camp maybe 3 hours. And then around Christmas, picked up a Funko Pop for my son. It's a Tim the Enchanter Funko Pop, which was kind of a rare find from the Holy Grail. There was one they had there, but it was $150. I didn't want to spend $150 on a Funko Pop. But it was
for real.
It was from an anime actress who voiced a character, and she's now deceased. But it was an autographed one by her of that. And then I bought my own self a cute little Conan O'Brien when it's up on my shelf.
funny. That's funny.
Yep.
All right, Amanda. Now it's your turn.
Okay. So I think I'll just start with the invasion of my house that we had.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So you weren't here for that, but my daughter has really, really got into the Percy Jackson TV series.
Yes! Oh my gosh, Percy Jackson! Anyways, go on, sorry.
Okay. So, like, every week... Okay, so she started with one friend, and she and that one friend decided that they were going to watch it at our house every week as it gets released. Well, then that girl brought her sister. That's fine. Didn't think anything of it. And then the next week, another friend shows up as well. So they have to rewatch the series and the new episode. That's fine.
Was this for Lydia?
No, that was for another girl. And then
Tess.
Okay. I'm trying not to say other people's kids' names on our podcast.
All right.
So then
was it a kid that started with a L?
No.
Okay.
Just pick up a name. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so then this... Okay, we'll go A, B, C, D. So we started off with A, B, and then we got C the second week, and D the third week. No, are we on week three?
I don't know.
I think we're on week three.
I'm so lost. Anyway, I didn't know that there was going to be an algebra test.
Anyway, so I ended up with six girls watching Percy Jackson and then Lockwood & Co.
Yeah, we're coming on to week four. Oh, you watch Lockwood & Co. too? Oh, I love Lockwood & Co.
My kids are extremely disappointed that Lockwood & Co. was canceled.
I know, me too. Like, I mean, yeah, there's the books that you could dive into, but I just like the actors and actress they got for the main characters were just amazing. Like, freaking love them. They just nailed their characters. So, yeah, I was disappointed in that too. I was like, stupid Netflix, you have this wonderful gem, and you're like, no, we're not going to keep going with it.
Let's see. And then Anakin did his Pokemon tournament, his first Pokemon tournament. Yeah.
He lost every round, unfortunately.
It's because he needs to use his trainers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. We need to do our gift exchange. We're a little late because it's no longer the holiday season, but that's okay. It's the holidays here.
It's Christmas.
Who wants to go first?
I will go first because funny story about this.
Okay.
I've been in Utah for the past 2 weeks. Completely forgot about it. Not going to lie. I came home on Friday. I saw a bunch of packages for me and I was like, oh, cool, sweet. So I opened them. And I was like planning on taking a picture of these presents, packages I had received and figure out who sent what. So, I'm going to pretend to open who's ever it was for the podcast. I just need to know if it is the cubed present or the like long kind of rectangular box one. And it is a difference between you will either be my favorite person or I will hate you forever.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, it's pretty steep there.
Yes.
All right. So. Who is Jekka's secret Santa here?
Is it you, Brady? You got a sneaky look on you.
Yeah, okay. All
right,
Brady. I listen, and I know what you love and
you
what
sent me
what
the cube
you
one,
out.
Right? You sent me the cube one.
Show me what you got.
Okay, it's the size, right?
I think it is. I forgot the dimensions, but yeah. Yes, it is.
E.T. I've kept it in. Okay. Backstory for the listeners. Okay. Brady gifted me one of those little pop movie figurines, but it's of E.T.
Funko Pop.
Yeah. Funko Pop.
E.T. Phone Home.
E.T. Yes. I don't like E.T. E.T. scares me. There's like my cousins had a plushy E.T. that just was everywhere, always followed me, freaked me out. I couldn't spend the night at their house until they got rid of it. And Brady gifted me E.T. Brady!
The only reason you got that is because the plush one with the Santa hat was that was about 18 inches tall, way out of our spending range. So you got the Funko Pop.
I was cried.
Jekka, I got to tell you something.
Cried.
You don't know how badly I wanted to draw your name ever since you told the E.T. story about a year and a half ago.
Oh my God.
I have been looking for your address. I've just been waiting. If I didn't get your address, I was going to ask Austin, because I think I asked Austin in a text message last year afterward. I was like, what's Jekka's address? I want to send her something. But it got lost in the shuffle. So I was just like, oh, I want to send her an E.T. so bad. I will sleep peacefully knowing that on your shelf, or perhaps buried somewhere in your home,
dude,
is an E.T.
I don't know what to do with this. Like, when I opened it, I was like, no. So I put it back in the box. It is going back in the box. The most I could think of is like, I'll probably put this out for Halloween, but I don't know where because they're like, ugh, Brady.
Jekka, I'm just going to remind you that you'll probably be in a white elephant next year.
It's true. I could get rid of it. But see, yeah, nothing will ever
be the large poster-sized Twilight painting that my brother gave me for Christmas one year. That I then gave in a white elephant gift exchange.
So let's see what the other thing you got is.
Oh, yeah. So, again, I don't know who sent me this. I'll have to find out. But it's a, like, crystal jigsaw puzzle of Howl's Moving Castle.
Cool.
Which I have, like, a couple other sets of these. They're really pretty because it's, like, it's see-through. And the one I have, I had, like, I would put it in, like, the glass frame so that you could the light can shine through it.
I sent that as well because I knew you'd hate the other one.
Oh, well, thank you, Brady. Yeah.
I'll be completely honest with you. I forgot what the second thing I sent was because it was on. I looked through your what I would like to have list, and I was like, okay, I'll send that. And where's E.T.?
And where's E.T.? That's
okay,
funny.
Well,
that's
funny. You redeemed yourself there, Brady. We can continue to be friends.
I think that's what it was, yeah. Nobody else sent her anything, right?
No,
that was on
no.
your list, right? So. Yeah, that's
yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I sent.
That's so funny.
I think it was on my list. I like. Yeah. I don't remember what was on my list.
Yeah,
that is so funny.
But thank that's you. Funny. So yes, you redeemed yourself, Brady. That was a close call.
Sorry. All right. Sorry. All right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
My wife opened this package because she was like, oh, a package. And then she looked at it, but I have not seen what's in it.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's see.
I know it's a book of some sort.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is going to be great.
Exceptionally bad.
Bad dad jokes. That's right.
Oh, my word. That's hilarious. Hey, pick a random one and read it to us real quick.
If you see a robbery at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness?
Oh, that's funny.
What did the grape do when he got stepped on? He let out a little wine.
Excellent.
What does a baby computer call his father? A data.
A data.
Yeah, these would have been great at camp, by the way.
Well,
you got another year of camp.
Yeah.
Who was my Secret Santa?
That was me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Funny thing is, my sister, I think she saw I had ordered that for you, and she got that for my brother, too.
That's great.
That means Austin and I got each other.
Yeah, we did. So, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I'm
going first.
Okay.
Because you took too long. All right, here you go. Here you go. She's opening it up.
All right. It's a D&D shirt. This mom rolls nat 20s.
Nice. Right.
Yes.
Nice.
Is it a D&D shirt?
Yeah.
Or is it just a generic RPG shirt? Oh, yeah, it's got the D&D symbol right there. Okay. This mom rolls nat 20s. There you go.
Nice. All right.
Nice.
Here you go, Austin. I even relatively wrapped mine because I did not buy it on Amazon.
Wait,
what?
And I did not wait until today to go run and get something.
Oh, really? Did you really? You ran today to get something?
I tried to do it at 10:30 last night, but Walmart didn't have what I wanted.
Happy Salmon, a 90-second game that will play for hours.
This game is on par with one to T-Rex.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
Does it show us on the screen here? Happy Salmon.
So,
or, as folks around here say, Salmon.
So, this game, you have a stack of cards, and everyone has the same stack of cards. They're just different colors. And what you have to do is everyone shuffles their card deck, and you stand around the table. You don't want to sit down because you have to then act out the cards with someone else who also has the same card as you. And the first person out of cards wins. And it is hilarious because one of them is switch up, where you have to switch places with another person. And so you've got people running around the table. Like,
that sounds like it'd be
places.
Fun to play with the kids.
It is a riot.
Have you? So you've played it before?
I played it once.
Where?
At Anakin's friend's house last night. I decided I had to get it for you.
Pay no attention to the tape on the box, Austin.
So when did you remember that you had to do this? Or how did you remember?
So I remember, I've been thinking about what to get you for a while, but I knew I was running down to the wire.
Yeah. You bought it today?
I played this game, and I was like, I had to get you this game because I knew you would love it.
Okay, all right, sounds good. No, yeah, it does sound fun. I look forward to playing it with the kiddos. All right, we've been chatting quite a bit, but it's time to talk some nerd news.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Ooh. And what is the news that should be on your nerd radar? Well, the MCU confirms Netflix Daredevil is canon in the new Echo teaser trailer. So Marvel Studios has recently unveiled a new trailer for their upcoming series Echo, intriguingly incorporating footage from Netflix Daredevil series. The move is noticeable as the Daredevil series was previously seen as separate from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. However, Marvel Studios executive producer Brad Windenbaum has clarified the status of the Daredevil series in the MCU. He stated in an interview with Screen Rant, quote, "I can say that up until this point, we've been a little bit cagey about what's a sacred timeline, what's not sacred timeline. That was born of, frankly, a period at the studio where we were like, we have to stick the landing with the vendors. It was another part of the company developing the Netflix stuff. We were aware of what they were doing. They were aware of what we were doing, but there was a lot to balance anyway. But now that some time has passed, now that we see actually how well integrated the stories are, I think that I personally, Brad Windenbaum, would be confident in saying it is part of the sacred timeline. The trailer of Echo, titled Hurt, hints at a significant role for Charlie Cox's Daredevil and Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. The series focuses on Maya Lopez, portrayed by Alaqua Cox, as she grapples with her Native American heritage and her connection to the legacy of Wilson Fisk, also known as Kingpin. Echo director and executive producer Sydney Freeman commented on the show's narrative depth, particularly highlighting the dynamic between Kingpin and Maya. Quote, "I will say very large. Yeah, it's one of the core relationships in the entire series. The relationship between Kingpin and Maya. And we'll come to sort of find out that he becomes a kind of surrogate father to her. It's one of the core relationships in the entire series. I'll say that much." Furthermore, D'Onofrio, reprising his role as Kingpin, expresses enthusiasm for the upcoming Daredevil Born Again series, promising an enthralling experience. Quote, "You guys have no idea what you're in store for with Daredevil Born Again. I know a little bit more than you guys, and all I can say is during that next series, you're not going to be thinking about anything but the next episode, I promise." End quote. Echo is set to premiere with all 5 episodes releasing simultaneously on Disney Plus and Hulu January 9th, right around the corner. Let's take a listen to this trailer and we'll talk about it afterwards. Here we go.
"When I was a boy, I had to choose a path, or fate would choose for me. I've hurt people, and I'm going to hurt more. I'm asking forgiveness for what I'm about to do. Savages. Gang wars. This city crumbles. Maya. We are the only ones we can trust. Betrayal, that's not something that I can forgive.
this brings me joy. You brought this on yourself.
It hurts me. But I have to kill you. Studios Echo. All episodes streaming January 9th. Set your Disney Plus profile to TVMA to stream.
Oh, brother. So I got to say, I hadn't seen this. I hadn't seen this trailer. I wasn't even aware of it. I've been so busy until right before we started recording tonight when you said, hey, watch this trailer. My adrenaline was immediately just flowing, man, because you alluded to it when you were off the cuff talking about everything on the episode, when you were talking about it. And what was notable is that they integrated some of the older footage from the previous series, and you could see that. And the sound in this trailer is phenomenal. But the way they meshed it with the upcoming stuff is amazing. And one of the things that looks really good about this, beyond the obvious, which is that Charlie Cox is back. We get to see him in action. The character Maya, she's amazing. And, of course, D'Onofrio, no matter what he does, is knocks it out of the park. But it looks like they're leaning more into the violence of Kingpin, which he was pretty violent, right? You know, in the Daredevil series, the previous three seasons for Netflix, I mean, he was violent, but it wasn't as hands-on. And it looks like that might be changing a bit. And it was good to see him portray that rage, you know, just that raw rage and violence that we know Kingpin is capable of. I didn't know about this until 30 minutes ago. And I can't wait for the next 48 hours to pass where I can just consume this whole thing.
I know.
Isn't it a good thing you didn't have to wait for it?
Yeah.
I wish we didn't record for a couple of days. Then I would... Yeah, no. Yeah, it's good that I didn't know, because I'd be chomping at the bit. Now I'm wondering what I'm not going to watch so I can inhale this one.
I mean, the nice thing is they're releasing all episodes at once. I was like, wow, they're hopping on that bandwagon. I wish they would do it for Percy Jackson, but okay, you know, like, great for Echo. Yeah,
I'm very excited for this. I can't wait to start watching it. In fact, we are going to be talking this next podcast episode because we can watch it in its entirety. The one question I have is, if Netflix Daredevil is MCU canon, part of the sacred timeline, then that has to mean Punisher is as well. Because Punisher's in Daredevil. And so, you know, there's been all sorts of rumors, just nothing confirmed. But it seems like we're going to be getting exactly what we fans have been wanting. We want the continuation of these Netflix series. And Echo looks amazing.
I'm inclined to think that Punisher will be now even more so, because, you know, John Bernthal had said in the past, I would love to do Punisher, but I'm only going to do Punisher as a Punisher. I'm not going to do like a muted version of it. And this, even by the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell this is they're willing to go there. They're willing to explore that line of cinematography that includes the raw, you know, the blood and all that stuff. So yeah, it gives me even more hope about
Punisher. And they're making sure we know that we have to set our Disney Plus accounts to TVMA. I gotta be honest with you, I don't know how to do that. I'm sure you just go into the settings.
Might already be set.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, let's move on. Rosario Dawson says that there's been no talk about Ahsoka season 2. Lucasfilm has not made any official statements about the renewal of Ahsoka for a second season. However, reports suggest that the green light for season 2 was given, and its development started prior to the writer's strike in Hollywood. The cast seems to be largely in the dark about the project's progress. Rosario Dawson, the lead actress of the series, shared her insights on the Dagobah Dispatch podcast. She mentioned an upcoming cast dinner, expressing excitement about reuniting with her colleagues since she missed recent fan conventions. Her exact words were, "Man, I quit moving this everything around. What are you doing?" Her exact words were, "No, we're supposed to be having dinner soon of the whole cast, which will be really nice because I haven't seen everyone. I was very jealous seeing everyone at some of their cons recently, which I wasn't able to be at." The first season of Ahsoka concluded with numerous unresolved storylines, much to the anticipation of the fans. The wait for the second season might be prolonged, requiring patience from the audience. The continuation of the series is believed to be a stepping stone towards Dave Filoni's major Star Wars film. Filoni, who is now the chief creative officer at Lucasfilm, is expected to bring his comprehensive vision of the Star Wars universe to life. Dave Filoni, alongside Jon Favreau and Kathleen Kennedy, have been pivotal figures in shaping Ahsoka, both as writers and executive producers. What do you think of this, Jekka?
Well, I'm just like, if you're gonna inform the cast that there's a season two, a dinner would be the best place to do it.
Yeah.
Just saying, right? But I'm also like, I mean, I feel like, I think there's so many unanswered questions and so many open things that need to be resolved that I want to be resolved that, like, not having a season two doesn't make sense. You know, did that raise that right? Bunch of negatives in there.
Yeah.
But like, cause I like so much of the focus of trying to like get Ahsoka and Sabine back to their own galaxy. It's like, how is that going to happen? Because like, I could see it's easy to like incorporate Thrawn into like Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, like the other TV shows that they're planning on, you know. But I feel like they would need at least another season of Ahsoka to kind of resolve that storyline they started.
Think about the storyline they started at the end of Solo, A Star Wars Story.
That's true.
Will we ever see it?
They need to go back to that one.
Will we ever see an end of that?
I don't know.
I hope so. But yeah, so I just know that they'll have a lot of big set of shoes to fill with Ray Stevenson, because he did phenomenal as Baylan. But yeah, so I'm curious. I'll be like, when's this dinner? When's it happening? Because
can you crash it?
Can I crash it? Can I be a fly on the wall? That sort of thing. So yeah.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's move on. Ray Skywalker, movie director, says film is very special. Daisy Ridley is set to reprise her role as Rey Skywalker in an upcoming Star Wars movie. This new film will explore Rey's journey 10 years following the events of Star Wars Episode IX, The Rise of Skywalker, released back in 2019. Although Ridley initially believed that her last portrayal of Rey was in this film, the new project's compelling narrative, crafted by director Obadiah Chinoy from Ms. Marvel and writer Stephen Knight from Peaky Blinders have inspired her to return to the character. Director Obed Chinoy, is that how you say that? Obed Chinoy expressed her enthusiasm about the project in a recent CNN interview, emphasizing the significance of the film in the context of the current era. She remarked, quote, "I'm very thrilled about the project because I feel what we're about to create is something very special. And we're in 2024 now, and it's about time that we had a woman come forward to shape a story in a galaxy far, far away," end quote. Set over a decade after the Rise of Skywalker film, this film will delve into Rey's role in establishing the New Jedi Order, titled, supposedly, Star Wars New Jedi Order. The movie is currently in pre-production phase and is anticipated to be released in theaters in 2027.
So, first off, the thing that annoys me is that she doesn't recognize the women that have come before her and making herself seem like she's the first woman to shape Star Wars stories, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true.
We've had
females on Mandalorian and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, so to say it's about time, that's very narcissistic there. So that's really concerning to me that she doesn't recognize the history that Star Wars has. Now, is this going to be bad? I don't know. But we've had dates for movies before, like not necessarily dates, but years.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing's come of it. So I'm not going to hold my breath that this is actually going to happen.
I think it will happen. I think Disney has slowed down to the point where the only things that they're announcing or even talking about, like, they're pretty solid, is going to come out. I think Disney understands that they've made a lot of announcements and then a lot of things never came out. They can't do that forever.
Well, they can't do it forever, but at the same time, it still feels like they don't understand Star Wars fans.
Well,
in the way she's talked about this film, is Dave Filoni involved in this?
That's what we need to know.
But the way that the director talked about this film was...
She does, yeah.
She doesn't understand Star Wars.
She comes off.
She doesn't belong in Star Wars if she doesn't get it.
Yeah, it comes off wrong.
It comes off tone deaf.
And what, you know, Patty Jenkins, her movie would have been the first movie directed by a female, but I guess that got scrapped.
I loved Patty Jenkins going into it because it really felt like she had the mindset. She understood it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And this director is clueless.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe they'll change up directors too, because that happens so frequently.
That's true. All right, let's move on. Rumors of actor replacements for the MCU's Kang the Conqueror. Recently, there have been speculation about Colman Domingo, known for his roles in Euphoria and Fear the Walking Dead, might be stepping into the MCU to replace Jonathan Majors as the character Kang the Conqueror. This rumor gained momentum following the resurfacing of a 2022 interview where Domingo expressed his keen interest in playing a Marvel villain. In the interview, Domingo stated his readiness to embrace a darker role. Quote, "When it comes to Marvel and DC, I'm like, I think I'm ready now. I'm worked out, fit. I think I want to play a villain. I just want to be the villain. I don't want to be a good guy. I actually want to do some really nasty, dirty work," end quote. The idea of Domingo taking on the role of Kang has been met with positive response. However, it's important to note that this remains an unconfirmed rumor and speculation, as Marvel has not made any official announcements. The only certainty is that Majors was dismissed from Marvel following a guilty verdict on charges of intentional assault in the third degree and aggravated harassment in the second degree by a New York jury. Oh my word. I've had a couple of weeks off, folks. Whether Domingo is actually being considered for the role of Kang in the MCU remains to be seen. If there's any validity to these rumors, an official confirmation may be forthcoming. Given the situation, it's plausible that Marvel is exploring options and speaking with various actors, with Domingo potentially being one of the candidates under consideration. What do you think, Brady?
I think it's just sad. I don't know anything about Colman Domingo. He may be great. I'm not sure. I think I had invested so much in Jonathan Majors. You guys know that. I loved his work. And regardless of his personal behavior, which is deplorable, I don't want any illusions about that. I don't want anyone to think I don't think that. His acting skills were phenomenal. And it's going to be really hard to find someone who has the same talent level that he has. I hope that they find someone that is comparable. And I, like I said, I don't know anything about Colman Domingo. It looks like I didn't see him in Fear the Walking Dead. I didn't watch that series, and I haven't seen Euphoria. So I don't know anything about that. But I can guarantee I'm going to watch something of his now. I just want to know. I mean, you know, well, it's like Majors, right? You know, when I first saw The Harder They Fall, as soon as I saw him in that, I went out and I consumed everything I could find with him in it, because he's such a phenomenal actor. So I hope that Colman Domingo, or whomever they choose to replace Jonathan Majors, can stack up. I really do. But I mean, it's obvious they've got to do it. You know, I don't think there's any question about that. Hopefully, you know, he gets the counseling and or help he needs to change his direction in life. It'd be a shame for him to let his talent go to waste by not trying to improve himself as a human. In the more immediate concern, as far as this goes, as far as the MCU Kang the Conqueror goes, I don't know. I can't think of anyone better because Kang has always been Jonathan Majors to me. And yeah, I'm really interested to see who they choose.
I'm just glad they're not scrapping it all together, because there was rumors that the MCU was just going to dump it and then just kind of start over and move forward. And I was just like, no, come on, guys. Just recast.
With the nature of forward. Kang, you can do that, right? I mean, it's not.
Well, yeah, you can recast. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. So we'll have to wait and see. I hope it works well. Moving on, Severance Season 2 is apparently being worked on again. Yay! The critically acclaimed Apple TV Plus series Severance captured audiences with its gripping first season in 2022, ending on a suspenseful cliffhanger, while fans have been eagerly awaiting news about the second season, especially as it nears the two-year anniversary of the first season's release. Updates have been scarce. Recently, however, a small but significant update has emerged, indicating that progress is being made. The intrigue grew when the official Apple TV X, we're talking about Twitter here, where the official Apple TV X account shared an image of Adam Scott's character, Mark Scout, from the first season, without any caption or context. This prompted a fan to reach out on X, asking for a hint about the upcoming season. They directed their request to Ben Stiller, the series director and executive producer, tweeting, quote, "Give us a sign, Ben Stiller." Stiller responded with an encouraging update, simply saying, "We're working on it," and added a saluting emoji. The production of Severance was not immune to the setbacks caused by the strikes in 2023, but it's reassuring to hear that the show is making progress, albeit gradually. While an exact release date for Season 2 is yet to be announced, it has been confirmed that it will premiere sometime this year in 2024. Severance, if you don't know what it is, features Adam Scout as the team leader at Luminon, a secretive company where employees undergo a process called Severance to separate their work and personal lives. This process involves a mind-altering procedure that switches their memories between their work and personal selves when they enter and exit the company elevator, creating a dual existence where each side is unaware of the other. Amanda, what do you think?
I am so excited for any progress on this. I'm also disappointed that I'm not getting a release anytime soon, but progress is progress.
I would prefer to wait another year and have the same quality.
Yeah.
Because I think if you were to drop the quality, it will be very noticeable.
They do have to stay at the same level of quality because it was so phenomenal. I kind of want to go rewatch it right now.
Oh, I'm like, this will probably be what gets me to get Apple TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you listening haven't seen Severance, trust me, it's worth the Apple TV subscription just for that episode or just for that TV alone. TV
show alone. So good. So good.
Yeah. Brady's nodding his head in agreement.
Yeah. I mean, you sold me on it when we first talked about it. Severance, you were like, don't watch any trailers. Just go watch it. And I did. I went in completely blind. And yeah, it's top notch. It's top shelf show. Right? Yeah, you can't. It's very difficult to beat that. And I'm with you, Austin. I'd rather wait longer for something just as good because they have so much to live up to against that first season.
Didn't you watch that with the entire family? Like your kids were captivated too or something?
That one was just me. Because I wanted to binge it and my family doesn't binge. My wife and I,
it's very binge worthy.
You know, we'll watch a show, but we'll watch like one or two episodes on a Saturday night or Friday night. And then we'll watch one or two in another week and one or two.
Yeah.
So a 10 episode season takes a month and a half to go through. And like, you can't do that with Severance.
No.
It's like,
yeah, you really,
you better like get ready to call in sick the next day if you watch episode 1. You're going to be up when it's time to go to work the next day.
The only reason it took me like 3 days to finish it was because of school.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I was chomping at the bit.
Yeah, so really good.
Austin did not prepare me for it. He just called and was like, you need to watch this. And so...
Well, okay. So I was gone. I was at Fort Knox. I was doing an army school. So that's why we didn't watch it together. He was gone.
Gotcha.
And so he's like, start watching this. So I start watching it. And then I, at 5 a.m., I was like, I need to be up for my kids.
Really?
It was like, it was some ungodly hour in the morning.
Yeah, the only reason I stopped between episodes was because I had to do the army thing. But boy, as soon as I had some free time, I was watching it every minute. It was, a captivating show. Very entertaining.
All right,
let's move on. Ready Player One is becoming a reality. Futureverse, a leader in AI metaverse technology, has announced the launch of Readyverse Studios, co-founded by Sharas Senderoff, Aaron McDonald, and author Ernest Klein, and entertainment veteran Dan Ferrara. This groundbreaking venture, in partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery, aims to revolutionize the metaverse, starting with a focus on the Web3 landscape and fans of Ready Player One. Readyverse Studios is dedicated to creating immersive metaverse experiences, allowing fans to deeply engage with their favorite stories and intellectual properties. The studio plans to utilize Web3 technologies, metaverse games, augmented reality, and virtual reality. Its first major project, the Readyverse, will be an interactive platform featuring interconnected digital experiences with Ready Player One as the initial highlight. The Readyverse will stand out for its adherence to open metaverse principles, including digital ownership, community-owned infrastructure, and interoperability. Utilizing Futureverse's advanced technology developed over 5 years, it promises a transformative metaverse experience. Ernest Klein, the mind behind Ready Player One, expressed his enthusiasm, saying, quote, "The future has arrived even more quickly than I imagined. With Readyverse Studios, we have the opportunity to leverage the revolutionary technology Futureverse has been building for several years to bring to life the best possible version of the metaverse. I'm confident with this team, we have the brightest minds and biggest hearts in place to lead us into the next chapter of our collective future. A future that would make Wade Watts and James Halliday proud." End quote. Readyverse Studios is poised to redefine the entertainment and storytelling, offering new opportunities for Hollywood studios, talent, and brands. Senderoff and McDonald see this as the beginning of a collaboration that will transform online entertainment, gaming, and social experiences, beginning with the IP that first showcased the metaverse's potential. Dan Ferrara emphasize the studio's potential impact. Quote, "Readyverse Studios will offer exciting new metaverse opportunities for Hollywood studios, talent, and brands to create new revenue streams and creative outlets for brand expansion while offering consumers the ability to enjoy the promise of the open metaverse. Readyverse Studios stands at the forefront of AI and metaverse, poised to reshape the future of entertainment." End quote.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Because, like, where was I? Oh, I was at my sister's place, and, like, her friend was just hanging out, and they were browsing, and Ready Player One came on, they started watching it, and I was just like, have you read the book, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
And watching, like, a little bit, I ended up leaving, like, within the first 20 minutes of it, but watching it, I was just like, wow, if that's becoming a reality, that's crazy. I didn't think we were at that point either. Well, I was like, wow, I did VR once, and it actually made me feel sick.
Yeah, the first time I
can't do VR either.
The first time I did VR, it made me feel a little sick. But
Brady's got his VR. He's going to be going into the Oasis.
Which one was that, buddy?
I still have the Rift S. So it plugs in through the it uses USB 3 and the DisplayPort channel on my graphics card so that I can play Steam games from it. So
I've got I've got a PSVR and I mostly use it for Star Wars Squadrons.
I use mine mostly for either poker, flying. I do Microsoft Flight Simulator and Intel VR. I will use it sometimes for racing. I can't do sim racing without a VR headset anymore. It's almost
I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, just like with everything, this thing is going to come out in stages. It's not going to be. There's no way, shape, or form it's going to look like or be exactly like a one for one, Ready Player One copy at its initial launch. They're going to have to work up to that, but. But I mean, I don't know if you spent any time in the metaverse. I haven't, but I have watched people like YouTube videos. And I'll be honest, it just looks lame. Like it so is. Lame. Like nothing about it looks enjoyable, fun, enticing. So the bar's already set really, really low.
Yeah.
If these Futureverse folks can do something great, it's gonna really stand out. So all right, folks, we've talked some nerd news. Now it's time to get into our main event.
We had our honeymoon on Alderaan.
Good thing we took pictures, huh?
Shut up, Wesley.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park.
And that bell means it is time for our main event. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom and the end of the DCEU.
4 years ago, I was basically unemployed. A wanderer with no home. But now, I'm a husband and a father. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
I don't know how you did it, Pops.
My job was a little less stressful than yours.
Oh yeah, I finally got a job. I'm the king of Atlantis. Half a billion people from every known species in the sea call this place home. But that doesn't mean they all like me.
I'm gonna kill Aquaman and destroy everything he holds dear. I'm gonna murder his family and burn his kingdom to ash.
He must be stopped, or a global meltdown is imminent.
I think I know someone who might be able to help us. Whew, you look rough.
Good job, little brother. High five.
Do not call me brother. I cannot believe you let this happen.
Yeah, well, I hate this job.
True king builds bridges, right?
True king builds bridges.
We need to find Manta.
He's different now. He's stronger than before.
It's the Black Trident.
During King Atlan's time, there were seven kingdoms. The Trident was a curse upon them all.
The Trident's dark magic is spreading.
He means to end the bloodline.
I don't know what lies ahead, but we can't leave our children in a world without hope.
You're not as bad at this as you think.
If you lead, the seven kingdoms will follow.
Oops, I forgot to turn off the mute button. Hey, special shout out to all you super nerds who have hit that podcast subscribe button. We really, really appreciate you. Please help us get the word out. Tell a friend about the podcast. And I want to invite you to hit that podcast subscribe button if you've not done so already. Come on, do it. You'll get plus 10 nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
All right. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom also happens to be the very last DCEU film. What do you guys think of it?
I need to stop committing to seeing movies because I did not get around to seeing it again.
Okay, all right.
My bad, everyone.
All right, Amanda and I saw it. Okay, that's fine.
I phoned it in.
If anything convinced me to go see it, that's your goal right now.
Well. All right, so.
It wasn't going to be that problem of I'll wait till it comes to.
No. Well, here it is. It wasn't bad, but it was very like
it hit everything that gives you superhero fatigue.
Yeah, that's it. MCU burnout falls into this. But I mean, I'll say this: the one thing the Aquaman movies have going for it, even this one. Is that I think they actually are much more visually interesting to watch than a traditional Marvel film. All the stuff in Atlantis is fun to watch, but
I didn't even watch that, and I spent all my time on my phone.
Yeah, Amanda was in the theater on her phone. I watched it. Yeah.
I was not disturbing anyone nearby. Just so you know, I was very respectful. There were three other people in the theater with us.
We went the very first showing on New Year's Day on Monday. I don't know. Like, I get done watching this. Like, we've got a little bit of Marvel fatigue. The world's got a little bit Marvel fatigue.
I came out with more superhero fatigue than I went in with.
And like, this is the end of the DCEU because they want to make the DCU a brand new DC universe. Is the population ready for more comic books? Like James Gunn is saying that he's taking this in new directions. Brady wanted to say something. Like it's.
Well, I'm just thinking who goes to see this movie, right? Not talking about the quality of the movie because I didn't see it, but who goes to see it? The folks that are invested, right? So that would be folks like you guys, folks that are really DC fans. But you're going to pair some of those off because this is the end of that storyline. And it's not like it's coming to its designed end. It's just ending, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do they really want to invest anymore into it? So you're going to have those folks. And then you're going to have the folks that are passive about seeing it. And they see a movie about Aquaman. Yeah, you know, Aquaman justifiably controlling 2/3 of the Earth's surface is pretty powerful. But if you think about it, if you're just a passive, you know, you've got to go see some movies and Aquaman is the choice. You know, if you're not really a comic book fan, are you really going to go, yeah, let's go see that one. Right. Yeah, I don't know. So
what I'm surprised about is that this movie has a $205 million budget. And so far it has a box office of $334.8 million. Wow. So, I mean, I don't know how much, they spent on advertisement, but it looks like this is going to be profitable in the long run. But
it's so funny to me.
the first Aquaman film, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. People enjoyed it. And I don't think this was a terrible movie. Okay. Here's the best way to explain it. If the market wasn't utterly saturated with so many Marvel films. This might be
superhero
a lot
films.
Superhero films. Yeah, thank you. If the market wasn't so overly saturated with superhero films, this would stand out as a really enjoyable film. But I think every single person is going into it with a little bit of fatigue, and this does play into that a little bit. And so it's kind of sad that is how the DCEU ends, with just a little too much fatigue.
So
with a whimper.
The problem that they had with it is they needed to grab my attention and keep it. And instead of doing that, I got to hear about Aquaman being a dad. And as cool as that is character developmentally, they didn't do it in a way that made me interested in the slightest about him or his kid.
You didn't like the joke about the kid peeing on the dad all the time? On Aquaman all the time? Come on, that was kind of funny.
Kids do that anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, there's one scene in the movie. So first off, Amber Heard's Mara was in the film more than you would think with all the negative backlash. But she wasn't like a gigantic star in it, but she was in it more than you would think. And so in all honesty, it seems like maybe they played down her role a little bit, but not a lot. And so at the very beginning of the movie, Jason Momoa's Aquaman is changing the kid's diaper, and he gets to the point where he can like react quick enough and not get peed on by the kid. And Mara, who can control water, will like control the urine stream, so that way it bends in midair, and it still hits him. And so that's how she screws it. I'm sorry, I thought that was really funny, actually.
It is kind of funny, actually.
So you can't get away from the kid being wee wee.
At the same time, those are anecdotes, and it's a one-off part of it.
Yeah, it is.
And it sounded like they spent so much time going, I'm such a cool dad. I'm such a cool dad. That it was just like,
is that your Jason Momoa impersonation?
That is my Jason Momoa's Aquaman trying to be a dad impression.
I'm impressed.
You know, one thing that I found to be quite surprising is that they had Jim from The Office there. Asian Jim, the fake Jim.
Randall Park.
Oh.
Randall Park.
Oh,
Who's also in
the MCU. He's in the movie a lot. Like he's a
scientist.
No, I was going to say he's not like a major character, but he is a major character that moves the story around.
I will say this. He was actually a fully developed character. Yeah. And I actually really liked his character a lot.
You did? I thought he was a little bit on the annoying side.
He's great.
No, he is great, but his character was annoying.
I will remind you, half the time I was on my phone.
No. Okay.
More than half.
I'll be honest with you. His character in this movie did not really seem any different than his character in the Ant-Man movies. Except his profession. One was in law enforcement, the other one was a scientist. So, outside of that, like, it was okay. the exact same character.
I'll explain the character development that I really liked. So they show in the beginning how he was actually fairly fearless in trying to save his friend. Like, danger was coming, and he put himself in danger to try and save his friend. And so what I like about that is they carry that later into the film when he feels like he's helpless and he's in these dangerous positions, and he still tries to save Aquaman's child, and he still puts himself in danger to try and save this baby. And so I really liked how they had that character. They really tried to keep his character that type of person. So I liked that. Did I pay much attention to him? No.
Well, it's funny because I like this character in the MCU, but I didn't like him in the DCEU, And I think it was only because I was scratching my head saying, like, why is he pretty much the exact same character? And that's what annoyed me. It's like, we already have him in one movie universe as this character. You can't do a one for one and just say, well, he's a different character, but he acts exactly the same.
I'm just going to say Will Ferrell movies do that all the time.
Yes, but those are comedies. Those are.
Randall Park is a comedian.
But this is not a comedy, though. This is an adventure superhero movie. You can't have him jumping from every different superhero and be the exact same character.
I think he tried to be different.
In what way?
I didn't.
Okay. So.
So basically, he wasn't in law enforcement for one thing.
I already said that. His profession changed. That's about it.
His profession changed, but it changes like how he interacts with the other characters. Like, he didn't try and like really dig into more things. He was fairly like a fearful character in a lot of ways.
What did surprise me is that Dolph Lundgren was in this movie. Was he in the first movie?
Probably.
I don't remember him being in the first movie.
Who's that?
He played King Harris.
What?
Dolph Lundgren is. He was. I will break you in Rocky IV. He's the Russian boxer.
Does he play the king, the evil king, or does he play good king?
He played the good king that. Him right there. That's Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, I know.
A little bit of trivia about Dolph Lundgren. His real name was Adolf. But they changed his name to Dolph because they didn't think that Adolf would sell very well to American audiences. He's also a real life genius, graduated from MIT, moved here. Yeah, his IQ is like something stupid.
Yeah.
But like a
and
smart
by stupid, I mean stupid high. Yeah,
like smart stupid, not a other way stupid.
Yeah, he's super smart. He's a chemist, I believe, and he did graduate. I think he has his doctorate too.
So
here's a funny thing. Here's another thing. When his first movie was in Rocky IV, when Sylvester Stallone met him, and Sylvester Stallone, initially in a loving way, hated Dolph Lundgren because Dolph Lundgren was like everything that Sylvester Stallone wasn't. He was tall. Sylvester Stallone was short. He had like a perfect accent. Sylvester Stallone is always slurring his voice. You know, he's got like a doctorate. He does it. So, anyways, that's why he ended up hiring Dolph Lundgren, because he saw him as like the exact opposite of Rocky Balboa. In real life too, so
that's funny.
Yeah, but anyways, so back to Aquaman. There's these scenes where they're underwater, and their hair is like floating in the water, and I found that to be rather distracting this time around. Like, their hair is just floating. Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah, vaguely.
They got like the CGI hair, like woo in the back, and like the hair. Never like if you're in water and you like you go forward, you're gonna pull your hair forward too, that's behind you, and then as soon as you stop, your hair is gonna keep going in front of you, and then eventually it's gonna be in your face. But every time these people are moving, woo woo, they're moving around, their hair was never getting in their face. It was just like floating to the side.
They couldn't do that though, because
No, I know, but it was annoying because like I know how physics works. And I'm like, why is their hair not in their face?
What you're saying is Merida and Brave had better hair physics than Aquaman.
I mean, it was super noticeable when Nicole Kidman's the Queen was underwater too, because her hair's like, your hair can't be perfectly floating in the water. So, all right, so this is the end of the DCEU.
How did it end? Spoilers. Give us spoilers. Okay. What made it be like this is the end of the DCEU? Like, what did they do?
Well, first off, they did not. They did not have any cameos from any other superhero. The Flash was really the last DCEU as a whole, including cameos and in the bigger universe that the DCEU created. This was just a one and done walled off movie in the DCEU. And did they even mention any of the other ones? Did they mention Batman or Superman by name? I don't think they did. Yeah. So this was a completely contained story. And then when it ended, it ended like they saved the day.
They did have an end credit scene,
but the end credit scene didn't continue the DCEU at all.
Yep.
It just showed Ocean Master eating a burger.
I will share this spoiler because it is awesome and I want to share it.
All right.
So Aquaman has broken his brother out of prison and because he needs his brother's help and they're on land and Aquaman is trying to say, you know, you've never eaten land people food. Like, how do you know it's bad? So he convinces his brother that cockroaches are a delicacy.
Well, yeah, he calls them the shrimp of the surface. And so he convinces
like cockroaches.
Yeah. So he convinces Ocean Master that when you see a cockroach, it's completely normal. Just, you know, grab it, eat it, throw it on your food. And so the end credit scene is him eating a burger. And then he sees a cockroach come by. So he grabs the cockroach, throws it on his burger, and he keeps eating like nothing, you know, abnormal just happened. And that's the end credit scene. Like, so they don't do anything. The movie did focus a lot on global warming and the effects on the environment, which kind of makes sense because it's an Aquaman movie, you know?
And some of my struggles is they didn't focus on the things that are actually happening to the oceans. And it was like really made up.
Yeah, they just made up. So.
And it was really junk science they were doing. Well, and they're like, the Atlanteans are so much more advanced than the surface world. And they can't even get the science of what's going on in the oceans right.
Well, okay. So
like, no talking of like the bleaching of the corals, like the increased CO2 in the ocean.
Yeah. So they
all the plastic.
They make up a fake issue that affects the climate as opposed to taking a real issue.
Global warming as like it's the temperature is the most important part of global warming.
So here it is. So Ocean Master's in jail. Black Manta ends up finding like this magical black trident. And this magical black trident was like the king, like this evil king that's been frozen in ice and can't get out of the ice. But Black Manta finds his thing. And when he finds the thing, he can basically communicate telepathically with this like ancient king. And basically what the ancient king says, hey, I will give you the tools and the power to kill Aquaman because Black Manta wants to seek revenge on Aquaman. I'll give you the tools to do it. In exchange, you have to let me go. And so he's like, okay, I'll do it. And one of the first things he does is he gives them kind of like underwater AT-STs from Star Wars, the two-legged walkers. And so like there's like these underwater ATST type of things. And these things, they run off of this incredibly pollutant energy source. And the Atlanteans, I guess when they defeated this guy, I don't know, centuries ago, they took all of this energy source, like this fuel, and they locked it up. They couldn't dispose of it safely without it hurting the environment. So the best thing they did was basically they just guard it like 24/7. And so there's like a cool little scene in which they're breaking in, they're stealing all the stuff and all that stuff. And it was actually very reminiscent of, you remember the scenes in The Matrix when those like squid things are like chasing after the people?
Yeah.
It felt very,
ship, yeah.
Yeah, it felt very similar to that. It felt very Matrix-like. But anyways, long story short, when Black Manta gets this fuel, he's basically, he burns the fuel. When he burns the fuel, like it basically, when he burns it en masse, like he's doing it, it basically raises the temperatures of the ocean, and global warming starts happening. And that's basically it.
That's a very creative villain. It's like, I'm going to be so bad, I'm going to make the problem worse. That's not a very valid reason. I don't know.
It's lame sauce. It's really hokey, in my opinion.
But like, that's like, they're like real people who do that. So it's not really a made up.
Yeah, I'm like, for me, if it's like,
so to understand what's going on in the oceans with global warming is that we have a huge amount of CO2 being like literally killing coral reefs and bleaching them.
Yeah.
And like there are huge actual problems happening in the ocean and they couldn't even be bothered to Google one of them. Turned me off at the very beginning.
Let's be honest though. If you have Aquaman, this magnificent superhero, super strength, can do all these cool things, and he's like, hey, you guys need to stop bleaching the coral reef.
Okay.
That's gonna come out really lame.
Austin, he's already
almost like
Aquaman.
A movie about taxes and embargoes.
If you want to talk about it that way. But what it is the CO2 is literally choking out and they're being deprived of oxygen in the ocean. Like, they could do a cool thing with that. All it takes is a basic Google search of the problem.
Anyways.
Their problem.
Jack, I'm just warning you ahead of time. If you ever see the movie, you will
actually,
be bothered by
actually,
it.
I would like to see. Oopsie. I guess that means for ending.
You would like me to see the movie?
Okay. I would like to see your reaction of the movie because it'd be interesting to see how you react to the
environment stuff. I'll try to go see it on Tuesday. I put $5 Tuesday. I will try to go. Even no one else comes, I will go. I can promise that.
All right, now we're going to do it for real, because okay. I already did it. All right, folks, that is the end of the DCEU, believe it or not. Hopefully the DCEU can somehow capture our imaginations. But make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button, leave us a review wherever you're listening to us. Subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Podcasts, Anchor Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever else you find us. Next week, we are going to talk Echo. We're gonna binge watch that thing hard, and we're gonna talk Echo because it looks amazing. So if you got any thoughts on Echo that you want to share, you can leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/supernerdpodcast. You can also email us at supernerdpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Search Supernerd Podcast. Give us a like, give us a share, and tell a friend about us. But from all of us at Supernerd Podcast, stay nerdy, my friends.
Have fun.
Catch you later.
Happy New Year.
My dad's from the land, my mom's from the sea. I am Atlantis's true king. My pop Tom, a lighthouse keep, rescued my mom who had bad wounds so deep. They fell in love. Next I was born to save us, mom left and our family was torn. Volko secretly trained me so I gain superpowers. Though just a half-breed, I can make sharks devour. My dad's from the land, my mom's from the sea. I am Atlantis's true king. I'm a bastard, that's all my brother thinks. But I am Atlantis's true king. My half-brother Orm wants to rule the sea. Manipulates kingdoms for a surface kill spree. He whoops my ass, but Mira saves me. Find the Trident's coordinates in Sicily.
Trash is the place. ways to go. Stange, as creatures attack, his mom saves our butts, thank God she's got our back.
My dad's from the land, my mom's from the sea.
I am Atlantis's true king.
I'm a bastard, that's all my brother thinks.
But I am Atlantis's true king.
Hey, Aquaman, kill my daddy in a sub. Oh, hooks me up some gear to squash him like a bug. Turn up the heat, call myself Black Manta. Drop down on his ass like a chimney under Santa.
I'm the true heir, I'm the ocean master. Arthur's fault, mama sacrificed, what a disaster. But when she reappears, I'm blown away, how could it be? With Arthur and the trident? Guess I'm not the master of the seven seas.
My dad's from the land, my mom's from the sea.
I am Atlantis's true king.
I'm a bastard, that's all my brother thinks.
But I am Atlantis's true king.
I am Atlantis's true king.